Welcome to another episode of Wonders, One Hit Wonder Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Zandi, and I love you, everyone, each and every one of you listeners. Speaking of people that are wonderful, today we have a guest, you know, as the boy king of Los Angeles, forever a charlatan and a scoundrel, can Yolk carry over 700 pounds? You can catch him co-starring in the finale of Phoenix to be released on Amazon Prime in 2021. Please welcome Joe Felix.
Hey, yeah, I'm very excited to be here in my house recording remotely.
That is correct. I know half of that intro was a bit. Do you actually have something called Phoenix coming out?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the finale. I get a spoiler. I die in a shootout.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. Is this a movie or this is a TV show?
It's a series that hasn't been released yet.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, I don't know how to, like, I don't know if I could give that credit or if I should give that credit. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, it's gonna be released this year, so why not?
Oh, that's great. And you die in it, you said?
Oh yeah, I die. I have a very dramatic death. A lot of coverage. That's... I remember like a good half hour of coverage of me dying.
That's one thing I miss with improv is just being a dead body on the floor.
Oh yeah, that's, you know, and it, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm like, oh yeah, because if I'm on my back, right, I'm thinking, okay, so obviously I can't open my eyes because people can tell, and also there are probably stage lights overhead and I'll mm-hmm. blind myself, but also my tummy is extended and I wonder if people can see that. And also, there are people right in the front row, right, like maybe 3 feet away from my bulge. I'm like, this is too much for me.
Extremely relatable. And the whole time, my hearing's not that great either, which is great for a podcast. But when you're on the floor, you can't really tell yeah. what's going on around you. So
yeah.
This is real inside baseball for improv. But like if a scene ends, you won't be able to know the difference and you'll just be a dead body the whole show.
Unless someone like wipes the scene and they literally trample over your body.
Yes. That has happened many times as well, getting stepped on. And then it's a bit and people laugh at it. So you keep having to
stepped on, yeah.
Three times is the rule.
I guess I also, you know, you had a segue up top where you said that you love each and every one of your guests. No, listeners. And then I go, yes. Oh, is Ian about to say that? Because you said, speaking of, someone else that I love. And I was like, whoa.
I love everyone except the people at the Capitol right now. Yes, I love you. I love each and one of my guests as well.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I was getting emotionally prepared to hear that. Oh. I don't hear I love you very often, so.
No? Like, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. But it's still a thing. You know, even people in relationships, even people who, you know, share beds with other people, some of them still are like, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that, you know? But me, I was like, oh, man, this is it was almost like nostalgic in a way where I was like,
oh, I think it is something that people need to be reminded.
Yeah. I hear that a lot when I'm on the train. And then, you know, there are children around. So when instead of cursing at me, you know, the people will be like, I love you. I love you. And I know what they're really trying to say.
So they're saying it passive aggressively.
Yeah, definitely. which is a thing that, you know, it's funny because as a kid, I remember my dad would do that because he didn't want to curse at people while he was driving, who like cut him off or whatever. So since I was like in the back seat, right, he would just yell at them, I love you, right? And I learned that it took me into my adulthood to realize what he was trying to say.
What's that movie? Sorry to Bother You. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a scene. They do like a compliment paddle.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's like, hey, I hope you have a really nice day. Oh. Yeah? Well, you know what? Your smile is magnificent, man. It's like very, very passive aggressive. It's not on YouTube, and it's hard to find, but that clip is one of my favorite things. I get such a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's good. I love doing that.
Today, we're talking about Hello, It's Me by Todd Rundgren. Did I get it right?
I think you got it right.
All right. I was very much battling over that name pre-show. You were going to clap every time I got it wrong, I believe.
Well, you know what? I had faith in you.
Oh, you had faith? Oh, thank you. I don't have faith in me.
I just had to give you that confidence that you could mess up, you know, and I would cover it. But then, you know, usually when you have that confidence, you don't mess up.
No, it's kind of like the feather in Dumbo's hat. Wait, could Dumbo actually fly?
He had a hat?
Wait, where does the mouse go in? Does he just, like, tuck behind his elephant hair?
I think... I don't know.
Anyway, wait, does a feather give him powers or can Dumbo actually fly?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I was focusing on the wrong thing when I was listening to that, or when I was watching that movie.
I think I was focusing on what were you focusing on?
Animal cruelty and the circus.
Oh, that's true. And it's kind of racist, too.
Yeah, also, yeah, I was writing an essay on critical race theory at the age of 3. The race politics in Dumbo.
I am very behind in that case. Because I was probably like, I like Toy Story at that age.
I love that. That was your catchphrase at 3?
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's go around the room. Everyone say a little bit about themselves. I like Toy Story.
Well, are you doing, is it like your first day of improv when you're 3 years old?
Yes, and except the "and" would just be me saying I like Toy Story again twice.
Yeah, you're getting notes at the end of the term, and your teacher from, I don't know, IO or Second City or UCB, I don't know what children's improv class you're doing, but they're like, yeah, we really love your object work, we really love your willingness to come in and help out on the scene, and the way that you do edits, you have perfect timing for edits. We really feel like you have a one-track mind when it comes to the subject matter. I'm going to pass you on to the next level of this improv class because we need the money, but I really hope that you find a way to, you know, broaden your references.
I like Toy Story. that's a B. I believe they give grades at UCB. That's a B grade. I don't know if they still do that, but they were doing that at one point.
Yeah, because they were like, what's it, accredited?
Oh, yeah, I think they were. I forgot about that. Wow, so much has happened.
Yeah.
In life and in improv life, which are two different things.
That's a good, I often forget that. Yeah.
Often I do as well. The song.
Yes.
This is a unique pick. I'll just start off. Why did you pick the song?
You know, you asked about one hit wonders, and me being a very pretentious and awful human being, I'm going to choose a one hit wonder that is a one hit wonder if you don't like music. I'm going to alienate your audience. If you happen to like music, you know that Todd Rundgren has a large catalog of good songs. But I think socially and historically, it's been known to be the case that Hello, It's Me really stood out. It stood out so much that I think he released it twice on 2 separate EPs. Also, I really like the song. Wait, is this part of the where I get into it, or I'm not sure
directly? It's okay. Yeah, let me talk about that, because we can't actually play the song because of weird copyright, and I don't want Todd Rundgren to come after my kneecaps. He has a real thing about kneecaps, but we can't play the song. We can talk all about it. So I'm just going to read the Wikipedia version of it. And then we can get into the meaning of it and talk all about it. So Hello, It's Me is a song written by American musician Todd Rundgren.
There we go.
It was released. Yeah, all right. It was the first song he wrote and recorded by his group Naz as a slow ballad released as the B-side of the band's first single, Open My Eyes, in 1968. A mid-tempo version of Hello, It's Me, recorded for Rundgren's 1972 album, Something Slash Anything, was released as a single in September 1973, reaching number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. So that actually doesn't tell you too much about the song itself. It's a slow ballad. That's basically all you need to know. They recorded it at least 2 to 3 times, changing up the speeds a little bit, adding a little flub in the beginning. Beyond that, they sound almost identical. What do you think?
I think that, yeah, they're very similar. I think it's simply the case that Todd was a little bit... So he released this when he was... I don't know, like 17 or 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't do the math on
that. It was after a breakup in high school. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, like, he was part of this group called The Naz. And the thing was, like, they had a really good publicist or manager or whatever who got them on, like, the cover of some teen magazine before they even released the album. And then... yeah, so he had that whole breakup, and you're asking me what I think about the song. So yeah, he was really young when he first recorded that, right? And then he wanted to, I think the band wanted to stay in whatever genre they were in, and he wanted to do something more punk, which, like, the mm-hmm. way that he recorded it again wasn't very punk, but, he went and became a solo artist, and then, you know, he's one of these people who often is noted for playing every instrument on the albums that he releases. So this toned down version or slowed down version is, like, you know, the one that's, like, more well known is him playing all the instruments. And I think, you know, once you have control of that, once you have, like, you know, you kind of relinquish other people from their duty of playing music along with you, then you can choose how you want to do it in every way possible.
Yeah. And when it was re-released, it actually picked up a lot more traction compared to the original version recorded by Naz. I think it just hit that sweet spot. the actual meaning, like you mentioned, is about a breakup song. I think basically he framed it as him breaking up with her, but in reality, I think it was the other way around.
Yeah. It's so often the case that, yeah, that happens. I don't know if I can... Well, one, I'd like to just say a quick thing of trivia, because I just pulled up the Wikipedia, and they don't have the reason why I even know about the song to begin with.
Oh, what's that?
It was played in the finale of that 70s show in the last 30 seconds.
I have that in my trivia section later, so you'll definitely get that question right. It was played in the first episode and the last episode of that 70s show.
Oh, there you go.
I haven't seen the pilot or the finale of that show. It's a fun show. Some of the people in it don't hold up as much. But yeah, that's great that it was used in such a popular sitcom.
Oh yeah, definitely. You mentioned him actually being the one broken up with. And this is, like, why I love this song so much. Because I can be in that mindset of being a teenage, just heterosexual dude who is, like, in his feelings. I think I heard, like, it is, yeah, the song came to my attention when I was getting into high school. The finale was 2006. So... I could be in the mindset of someone who is, like, well, a teenage lame dude who was broken up with and somehow managed to believe that in being dumped, he has given freedom to his partner. Like, he has, you know, given the permission for them to be free and, unrestrained by his desires. I don't know if you read into it like this, read into it, right? And I think it's just hilarious that this guy is kind of a, to be honest with you, I think it's kind of a cringy song if you think about it in its context.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely recall those feelings as a teen. I didn't listen to this song. I was not that cool when I was a teenager. just a lot of Christian rock. But listening to this song probably for the first time these last few weeks, it definitely channeled some of those kind of angsty, like, this is an emo song for the 1970s, essentially.
Yeah, it was really something. It was an emo song from the 1970s. The way that I think if you look for a video on YouTube, he comes out to play the piano and he's dressed in what I would call like a proto Lady Gaga attire.
Oh yeah, it's very glam rock, very kind of David Bowie-esque.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because we're actually recording this on his death day, I think. Yeah. 5 years ago. Big influence for me, but yeah, I'd never really dug into Todd as much as like David Bowie or a Lady Gaga, but they probably even pulled style from him.
Well, surprisingly, you know, with Todd being the whitest guy you know, or you have to kind of say his name a certain way, Todd Rundgren, like yeah, like a, you know, a southern white guy, Todd Rundgren, you know, he gets covered a lot by African-American musicians.
Oh yeah, I think let's see, I wrote it down so we can get to it later, but yeah, he's covered.
I looked at the docket that
no, you're good. And honestly, it doesn't have to go in any order, so fuck it. We'll talk about it now. I think it's covered by Isley Brothers, Mary J. Blige, I've got on here, Groove Theory. I think there's one other more.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of African-American artists.
Erykah Badu with Andre 3000 and John Legend.
Oh, wow. And there's so many versions.
And he re-released that song in 1997 on his album With a Twist, where he does it Latin style.
Wait, what? I totally missed
and
that.
And it's worse.
Todd recorded it or someone else
no,
did?
No, Todd did.
Oh, wow. I totally missed that version.
Check it out. It's insane. It's the dumbest thing.
The lyrics are the same?
Lyrics are the same, but he has these like little onomatopoeias that he does that are... I don't know.
No, I'll listen to that mix later. I did not catch that in any of my very light research. wow, that's... But it's worse, you said?
Oh, it's almost like he's trying to do Hello, It's Me plus that song Tequila.
yeah, I can't imagine that meshes very well. Yeah. But yeah, all these covers of this song are pretty popular in their own right. By the Isley Brothers specifically, I think that was quite a hit.
Yeah. There are two of the covers say, because, you know, the first line, can I say some of the lyrics?
Go for it.
You know, he starts by saying, hello, it's me. But in the covers, you get a few bars of people just saying, hello, 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 hello. And doing research for this, podcast, I heard those covers for the first time and I go, when is the song gonna start? Because they're just saying hello for like a minute. Is this it?
That's how I felt in the extended version of his song. I don't know which recorded version it is, but he kind of does a flub thing at the top where he plays like a little bass line and he's like, oh fuck. Plays it again and plays it again, and then the song finally kicks in, but I'm like, oh, is this a demo? What is going on?
Oh, is that what he's, you know, you know where that intro is inspired from?
What?
I think it's his name, Jimmy Smith. He's a jazz musician who did When the Saints Come Marching In, but I think it's called When Jimmy Comes Marching In. And there's like a chord progression that Todd really enjoyed. So I haven't heard what you're saying, but the thing is, like, with Jimmy Smith, I think that was like a throwaway that he had on recording once. So if,
oh wow,
if what I, so it's, I, yeah, what I think Todd is emulating that throwaway kind of riff or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. Kind of makes it more casual, like you're in the room with them, to not be such a perfectionist about that. Because obviously they're recording the tape, it's not digital, so it's a harder, I don't know, more intentional thing to do, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. What sort of emotions popped up? I'm sorry to ask you a question. But what sort of emotions popped up when you heard this for the first time at your age of... You know, I figured out your age after you did the Smash Mouth podcast.
I did notice in editing the podcast, I'm like, wow, I bring up my age a lot. yes, I'm 27 right now. How did it make me feel at this age?
Yeah. How did it make you feel?
Yeah. And kind of, especially just being in quarantine and everything, kind of just nostalgic. This is kind of the song that you would sway to at a concert. I don't know, maybe like a beach campfire song. I could picture someone on an acoustic, like trying to play this song.
Can you?
Hopefully it would be good. I can. I know it's kind of, again, not a song that everyone would like sing along with, but like, kind of just a warm summer night song is kind of what I got.
You know, I actually want to push you on that a bit because I don't even think it's whether or not it's a known song and people can sing along with it. I think it's so ambitious to, because there are so many instruments playing on this track, mm-hmm. to just play the guitar.
Or just like one instrument. I would like, and there's a lot going on. It's a busy song, but at the same time, it feels so intimate, you know? So I would like to see just like a stripped down version. There isn't from him as far as I'm concerned, but I think that would be interesting.
Oh, Ian, is this where you're going to input the clip that we recorded of when we went to the beach and played this?
And here is Joe Felix playing live on his ukulele.
While swiftly running away from the police because he should be at home instead of in the public, you know, given the stay-at-home orders. Right? And then you hear me like with footsteps, just kind of like also trying to play it and kind of rushed.
So you're still playing, but you're running.
Yeah, I'm running away. You hear the wind of the ocean. You hear the crashing of the waves.
He's wearing a live mic.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear a lot of ruffling on my my shirt. This definitely can just go into a whole bit where I stumble over a churro stand. I'm on the pier, right, and I'm sorry. I started speaking Spanish. Oh, perdón. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to record this song for this podcast.
And then after that, you trip over a dead improviser.
Oh, yeah. There we go. All right.
Call back to 5 minutes ago.
Well, thanks for humoring that.
How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel
like, obviously you have this memory of it being played on like that 70s show and everything, but is there any like other memory that you tie this to?
Oh yeah, I tie it. Well, here's how I would answer that question. I tie this, I'm going to say that 70s show again, to my brother had a car accident a few years ago. Where mm-hmm. he almost broke, I think he broke his pelvis, and like he almost died, and it was a big crash. And I remember he would just both listen to or watch Initial D, which is a racing anime, and mm-hmm. watch that 70s show. And my brother had odd hours of sleeping while he was recovering at home because he couldn't do anything, he couldn't move. And so I remember. So I associate that song with my brother's time recovering and like me like getting up at 3 in the morning to watch something with him because he, you know, he was awake while everybody was asleep and this and that. And so whenever I hear this song, I think about those times. But I also, when I hear about this song, when I hear the song, I think about how odd it was to be a teenager and to have these emotions and like trying to figure out who I was at the time. Can I talk about this? Is that all? Is that too much?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This is actually the kind of stuff that I love. Kind of why I wanted to do a One Hit Wonder podcast, because every single one of these songs is tied to a memory for someone, especially if they pick it. And I like that.
Well, then
that it kind of connects.
Yeah. So then I remember around like, you know, from age. Okay. So, you know, my dad was a DJ. And so I grew up with a lot of music around the house. But one of the things that he really ushered me into was classic rock and disco. So around, around like, you know, when you start to discover music at like,
yeah,
like a preteen, you become a teenager, you're like, oh, this is cool. And then there's some kind of like, yeah, social capital that you gain from like listening to cool music. I remember being really into like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. People, I think some might be contemporaries of Todd Rundgren. You know, the Monkees, the Beatles, and listening to all those songs, Iron Butterfly, and essentially all the people from like Woodstock. I know it was like earlier, but and thinking, oh, cool, I'm set when it comes to music. I've learned it all, right? Then I come across this song at age 13 and a half, and I'm like, oh, sick. Now I can be even more like, yeah, as you mentioned, it's like an emo song. and I don't know what it is, but like, you know, as very hormonal horny kids, as a degenerate, I was like, you try to feel related to through music, and you try to make it so like your feelings are validated when you find a song that represents how you feel.
Yes.
I would definitely say this is how I, I'll say this. I should not have dated as early as it, or I should never date anyone ever, but
separation.
Yeah, it's a separate issue, but it's like, I can definitely, you know, see myself writing something like the lyrics of Hello, It's Me after being dumped. Like clearly knowing, as I was trying to say before, after clearly knowing that I was the one who was dumped, I'd be like, no, I'm progressing, as I'm becoming mature right before your eyes, in that you don't have to change for me. You know, you should never feel that way. Like, kind of like how it's said in the lyrics. I don't know if your listeners will hear the song prior to listening to this. Yeah. So I look at that sort of journey through, like, with my emotions and music, and especially this song, because, you know, That 70s Show really gives you a nostalgia trip for like what your adolescence could be, how strongly you can grow friendships. And that's why I had that sort of impression. And now you age and you mature and you reflect, and I listen to the song, and I clearly realize it's a song for teenagers. Sorry to, you know, offend anyone. I'm not really, but, you know, I it's my opinion. I believe that it's really a song for teenagers. I think it's sort of immature, and I think the themes that are talked about, like, if, you know, you feel like you're possessive over your partner, and you have to sing a song like this where it's like, no, it's fine. You know, you don't have to change for me, that sort of thing. I think you're in a toxic relationship. Yeah, I think with time and some maturity, I look back at the song and I think it's funny that I related to the song at any point, but I'm not too embarrassed.
No, I think that's a part of growing, because, like I said, I definitely remember this feeling being broken up with, and you kind of, I don't know, feel slighted, that you're like, no, I'm a good person. Why would you do this? And you try and justify it and everything, but given time and everything and distance and perspective and growing, you can look back and be like, oh no, that's a childish, or not a childish, but a human, a teenager thing to think. And it's kind of time capsuled here in the lyrics.
Yeah.
And that's really cool because I couldn't sit down and write this now. Well, I mean, I'm not a musician, so I couldn't, period. but if I were in his shoes at my age, I don't think I would be able to make this. to channel that teenage part of me.
I mean, I can't fight you on it. So, yes, I agree. Or I don't know how to respond.
No, you're good. I put myself in the corner. before we head to break, how would you describe this song in three words?
I want to say hello, it's me. But,
God damn it. that's an answer I would have given.
Sad. Pathetic. Good.
Sad, pathetic, and good. I think that that does pretty summarizes it up. I am at a loss for words today. But sad, pathetic, and good, I think, is perfect for this song. And on that note, we will head to a little break and come back. We'll talk a little bit about the music video, which is basically that live video, and a little bit more. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Wonders, One Hit Wonder Podcast. I am still Ian Zandi. Are you still Joe Felix?
Hey, who knows if I ever was.
Who are any of us really but blood and meat? Oh, and
Ian, bones. I'm sorry. I watched Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead last night.
What is this?
Oh, check it out. It's a good film depicting the death of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern from, was it Hamlet? Yeah, Hamlet.
Oh, wow. I've not heard about this. I was about to write it down, but then I realized that we're recording this, so I can always go back. I have a verbal note, and my listeners can go and watch this as well.
I'm sorry. I'm just in a certain mindset because of that film, and that's why I said, was I ever Joe Felix? I apologize.
No, that's deep. Is it a good film, or am I recommending a good thing to everyone?
It's so good. It's Tim Roth.
Okay, there we go.
It's who's this guy who played Gordon?
Commissioner Gordon? Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, Tim Roth, Richard Dreyfuss. It's a great one. It's so damn good.
That's stacked. Yeah. No, I am on board. I will add that in the show description, actually. There's so many random links. last episode, literally the episode that's coming out tomorrow from recording this, we went on tangents and recommended Crazy Ex-Girlfriend to everyone.
I hear that's really good, too. I second that.
Wait, you're seconding it without even watching it? as I'm doing the same thing, I'm recommending stuff I haven't seen as well.
it's gonna become a recommendation podcast. See.
Honestly, I thought about that a little bit too. I'm like, somebody's already done that. Nobody's done a one-hit wonder because either everybody loves it or everybody hates it. We're not sure yet. so we're gonna find out. and on that note, we talked a little bit. I don't think there's a music video for this, is there?
No, there was just that recorded live performance on some program that is long forgotten.
Yeah, I found a video link, and I'll drop it in the description as well. Yeah, it just says it's like 1973 recording and doesn't leave much more than that. But it's got that glam look, that long hair. It's just kind of vibing.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to a documentary. Can I talk about this?
Yeah.
Of Todd Rundgren in preparation for this. Not for information, but just to get more, I don't know, just to know and get the vibe of this guy. Now, mm-hmm. as an old man, he doesn't seem that cool. That's my sophisticated takeaway. I don't know why I brought that up and ended it like that. No,
did Do you actually know what he's doing like nowadays?
I think he's still he's producing music, but you know, he dressed up in such flamboyant, you know, wardrobe and performance and showmanship. And when he talks about the old days, he talks about it as if, like, just very plain. Like, yeah, I did that. I did that. And it doesn't seem like he has any of that. One, it doesn't seem like he enjoys it. But also, it didn't seem like he has any of that left in him.
Hmm. Yeah. That's very interesting to be kind of separated. I mean, I kind of do that with, like, my old life and other things that I've done. Not that I'm like ashamed of it, but just like that was another part of my life, and now this is my part of my life. So I kind of get it, but also it's music. You're still performing it.
Well, I guess you are a more mature person than I.
than Todd Berngren.
Yeah.
That's interesting that he has that perspective on it now, though. And I actually did look into a little bit of what he's doing nowadays. He's teaching music at, like, Notre Dame.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. There's a news clip. I don't know. Maybe it was just for the news. But he was, like, a professor of music there doing something.
Not bad.
Teaching kids. Also, he's set to release an album with Rivers Cuomo of Weezer this year.
Hey, that's very cool.
Yeah. So we'll see how that... I also didn't realize he was a member of the Cars at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Cars?
I love the Cars. That was the other
option. I freaking love them. And their lead singer, I think, just passed away last year, actually. Mm-hmm. But I guess he was filling in for a little bit in recent years, just doing Cars songs.
I didn't know that. I guess I don't love the Cars.
Same. We are learning stuff about ourselves.
Yeah. It has to be done while we're recorded.
Yes. it's a humiliation thing.
What a perv.
If this song was made today, who do you think would be the one to make it? In a universe where Hello It's Me never existed, kind of like a Yesterday Beatles scenario.
Yeah, that's such a good question.
It never happened. And maybe they make it in their own style. But who would make this song?
You're going to hate this. I'm going to hate it. I would say Mac DeMarco.
Oh, I could see that. Wow. I don't listen to his music that much. But it's kind of that lower fi vibe, soft guitars, indie rock.
I can see it. Is it Jack Johnson?
No, yeah, wait. I love Jack Johnson. I'm not afraid to admit that.
My morning jacket.
I forget his name, but I know my morning jacket. That's, yeah,
they.
Jim James, is that his name?
I don't know.
I think that's his name. Yeah,
I think they would. Possibly to. This is a good question, and I feel bad.
Oh no! Don't feel bad. There's no right answer. I'm not gonna scream about it. But no, I think. I mean, I wrote down like Foxygen, Father John Misty, kind of like those indie folk bands. Which I would loop like Mac DeMarco in that circle. So yeah, I think we're on the same wavelength about
that. Yeah, definitely indie. I would also say Adele.
Adele, yeah. Well, I mean, she's got the song Hello.
Is that what happened to my brain right now?
It might be. doesn't Lionel Richie also have a Hello song?
Yeah.
Never a goodbye song, always Hello. But no, I could see her doing... her own version of this, though.
I can see it too. I'm gonna call her up right now. I'm gonna have to do it.
Hello, this is Adele.
Hello, it's me, Adele. I've lost some weight and I have dreadlocks now.
Oh no. I did see that. Yeah. I think she's supposed to release an album this year.
Yeah, featuring, she's going to be covering Hello, It's Me.
She's going to do back-to-back Hello songs. That's, honestly, that's a baller move, and I respect that. That's a power move. If there was a sequel to this song by Todd, how do you think that would go?
It'd be something like, no, really, I've matured. Please come back to me. I'm a different person to date. On the record, I dumped you, but please come back. Nah, I'm not sure how to answer that. Like, what's the format do you want to hear that?
Well, does this song even rhyme? I'm trying to think. Oh, it's me. And no, I think he just holds syllables a really long time. I don't think he rhymes really, does he?
I love that as an understanding of music.
I don't have a technical understanding of music.
Hold syllables for a very long time.
This is welcome to Ian's music theory crash course. Is that a quarter note? No, he held it for like 10 seconds, man.
Yeah, like, well, essentially what you're describing is Frank Sinatra.
A crooner?
Yeah. Well, sing-songy sort of way. Yeah, you're right.
But no, I think that's that's exactly what a sequel to this song would look like. Do you know his other songs? Or mostly just Hello, It's Me?
There's a really good song called I Saw the Light.
I did listen to that, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that a lot on the radio, actually. And wow. I don't think people know that's him.
No, I feel like that one I did feel like I heard before. Not too familiar. But yeah, had no idea it was him.
You know, what is it, the name? Is that why he's a one-hit wonder? It's hard to pronounce. Todd Rundgren. How many R's are in this name, you know?
Rundgren. It's kind of just like, I feel angry when you say his name. Okay.
Yeah, you got to really, your jaw really bites. You're Todd Rundgren.
Rundgren. Yeah, it's almost kind of like a German name. I don't know. But yeah, that could be a contributing factor because you had to go and buy music as a record or a single or however they put this out. I think it was a single. And if you see that name and it doesn't catch your eye, maybe it doesn't sell as many copies.
I do love the idea of RIP Amoeba Records, right? Going in there and you go to, like, I don't know, R&B, or you go to rock or whatever. You're looking for Rundgren's album, right? And you go to R and you just don't find it in any of the R's. So you ask the staff and they're like, oh, his name starts with an R? We thought that was just like an utterance. We thought it was like an onomatopoeia. We have him under special symbols over there.
Next to Prince. Yeah, next to Prince. I love that world. Alternate universe. It's very thought out. I saw the light. I think Bang the Drum All Day. I wrote that down in my notes. I don't remember listening to that, but that might be another popular.
Bang on My Drum All Day. Is that the Michael Scott one?
Wait, from The Office?
I don't want to work. I want to bang on my drum all day.
Is that the Todd song? I didn't listen to this one. I listened to I Saw the Light.
I'm messing with you.
Oh, I don't know. Again, I don't think we've mentioned this on the recorded part either. when I invited Joe on the podcast, I'm like, pick whatever band you want. And you sent me Bach, and I totally believed it. And I'm like, okay, fine. we're gonna do a one-hit wonder on Bach.
Yeah. And obviously, he's not a one-hit wonder. And you're great. You're a great person for humoring any sort of suggestion I give, and a great improviser for that same reason. But yeah, I sent Ian Cello Suite Number 9.
And I was already like doing some research. I'm like, all right, fine. What do you want to record this? And you're like, no, man, it's a joke. You get my joke. But it was great. I go with the flow. I'm like, all right, I don't think Pac's a one-hit wonder, but if you want to do it.
I guess Joe's such a snob that he believes that it's a one-hit wonder. Maybe someone like Liszt, he believes to be a more, like Franz Liszt, to be a more credible artist or a composer.
Oh, I forgot about this too. I even went as far as like, okay, what recording are you talking about? Is this a Yo-Yo Ma version? And I'm like, okay, the Yo-Yo Ma version does seem to be pretty popular. I guess you're talking about that. So are you talking about Yo-Yo Ma being a one-hit wonder?
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. But it got me so good. I love it. let's segue into some trivia. I did write down some trivia questions. Mm-hmm. They're multiple choice, so if you're gonna be right, whatever, there's one in three chance. And one of them we already said the answer for us.
I'm gonna take a test, can I get into my standardized testing mode that I got used to?
Absolutely. What's your process?
I wake up, my mom wakes me up, I'm 8 years old. I eat a Pop-Tart, and then I forget to drink water. Then now I'm in my mom's car, and she's going to drive me.
Quick, real quick, just for context, I'm imagining a small 8-year-old child, but your current head on that child, like a bobblehead.
My head has not changed much.
Okay, then this is a pretty accurate description. Okay, continue.
That's it. Then mom's like, oh, you have testing today? I'm like, yeah, I told you. And she's like, oh, I forgot. Well, okay. I'm ready.
Is this a Scantron school?
That sounds like it's made of robots.
Okay, I'll take that as a no. More of a college thing.
Bubble in the Scantrons, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because you can make weird designs and stuff, and then sometimes it ends up being right.
Yes, I guess. I agree with you.
In theory, not that I've ever done that. question number one. Nas performed their first concert opening for what artist in 1967? Was it the Beatles, the Doors, or Bob Hope?
Good question. I would say it's Bob Hope.
That is incorrect. Wow. It was the Doors.
Wow.
The Doors. Yeah, which is another, they do sound a lot alike, actually.
So when I would get an answer wrong on a test, I would get my lead pencil and I would start to dig into my forearm. So please continue with the rest of the questions.
Question number two. It just gets less and less confident, and I'm imagining lead entering the human skin as I go on. How many false starts are in the full-length version of what did he false start twice? Was it 5 times? Was it 69 times?
I feel like you're doing this so that I can get the answer right and I won't have to dig more lead into my forearm.
No. Of course, I want you to just be comfortable.
I would say 2.
You would say 2? Is there a but there?
No.
Okay. 2 is the correct answer.
Yes.
Thank you. You're not. Are you doing the pencil thing?
No, but I'm sharpening it.
I can hear it. It sounds like I need some oil. It's very rusty.
Yeah, I brought it from the actual schoolhouse that I went to.
Knott's Berry Farm schoolhouse? How old is this place?
I have it mounted on my wall. So I just...
It's one of the crank ones?
It's one of the crank ones, yeah.
Question number 3. It... God. The song was used in the first and last episodes of which sitcom? Was it Cheers, That 70s Show, or Scrubs?
Let me think.
I will let you think.
Trigger warning. let me think. Do I want to hurt myself today? I'm so sorry.
Nine Inch Nails.
That 70s show.
That is correct. Yes, we talked about this in length. And we did mention this next question in passing as well. John Legend covered this song, as we mentioned. But for what commercial in 2005? Was it for Gap Jeans, AT&T, or pretzels?
Pretzels in general?
Just pretzels in general.
Who's heading the campaign of pretzels?
Well, you see, it's a PSA. A lot of people were swallowing them instead of chewing them. So they had to put out a PSA.
Ah, yes, your typical pretzel stick fiasco.
Didn't George Bush choke on a pretzel?
Hey, you know what? Who am I to tell him how to live his life?
Touche.
You said the Gap. You said, what was the second option?
AT&T. And then pretzels.
Oh, I would say because of the hello part, I would say AT&T.
That's really good logic. It was, in fact, Gap Jeans, unfortunately. Oh, no, no. Did it break contact?
Break contact?
Wait, break contact. Did it break
skin?
Epidermis?
Is your epidermis infiltrated?
God. That sounded oddly sexual. I think that's like a Bill and I the Science Guy word. Epidermis.
Epidermis. No. No puncture yet.
No puncture yet. All right, let's keep trying with this last question. Another band, coincidentally named Nas, at the same time in Arizona while Todd's Nas was in Philly. What legendary band would the other Nas change their name to? Is it Alice Cooper, Alice in Chains, or Alicia Keys? Is that the sharpener?
Alice in Chains, Alice Cooper. Those are the two options.
And Alicia Keys.
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper is correct. Yeah. Not a band that I really listen to. And I think pretty distinctly different.
Yeah, very different. What do you think Nas was so popular about? What do you Nas as a word?
It must be a reference to something. I don't think it's an acronym, but it must be a reference.
Do you think people were getting high off nitrous oxide at the time?
You know what? That is most likely the case, I think.
Wow.
Because why would two bands at the same time, and both went on to be pretty popular, have that same name?
Ian, I believe that this is a good time to plug my podcast, Joe Felix Cultural Detective, where I try to guess at the origins of names and things.
Yeah, can I? Let's do a mini episode right now.
Okay, give me a thing, and I'll tell you why it's named such.
Gumby.
Gumby. Gumby is a green organism. Some would say because he's made of, you know, gum, like rubber gum. Yeah, and given that he's stretchy, right? But really, Gumby comes from his detective skills. Prior, he was selected to be a detective. So they used to call detectives gumshoes. Then we also found out.
Wait, did you say gumshoes?
No, gumshoes.
Oh, okay, good.
They used to call them gumshoes. And Gumby also had a sexual orientation that was undisclosed to the general audience, which he was bisexual, and so the bi part was added to the end of the gumshoe part, gum b. So Gumby, it was Gumby. Anyways, thanks for tuning in for another episode of Joe Understands Culture.
That was a great pod. I've actually joked for a long time that Gumby's bisexual icon. That's very funny.
Oh, nice. Yes.
So you tied it all in. I didn't keep track of score. I always forget. I think you got 3 out of 5. What does your pencil say?
8-year-old Joe is sad.
Okay. Yep. That sounds like 3 out of 5. we'll go on one last break and then we'll come back, do a little organized improv bit.
Yay.
And welcome back to Wonders, One Hit Wonder Podcast. You're still listening. Thank you. We said bye, but now you're back. So hello.
Welcome back to the Joe Felix Podcast. I have now taken over Ian Zandi's podcast.
Help me.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that bit. Go ahead.
You bailed on that very quickly. I'm completely on board. I'm like, ooh, I want to see where this is going. You'll commit to everything else, but not that. Okay. speaking of committing to bits, we're going to do a little improvised segment. Just based on whatever we talked about, is there something that stood out to you that we've talked about that you want to do a scene about?
I mean, Gumby being bi, but we didn't really talk about that.
But we did mention it. Anything that we mention is canon and up for grabs. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, let's do Gumby.
Yep.
Being bi.
All right. So this is Gumby's sexual adventures. Okay. Hey, you coming around here to the Abbey? Haven't seen you here before, Gumby.
Oh, yeah. Wow, it's interesting that my people know my name, even though they've...
Well, you're wearing a name tag at the bisexual convention.
Well, my name's actually Gum. The last part just tells you my sexuality. As I can see, your name is really? Nick Pansexual.
That's correct, Nicholas Pansexual, if I want to get formal.
What is that, Greek?
It's a Greek origin. It comes from the singular noun nick, which means to get nicked with a sword.
Oh, I can get into that.
Oh, yeah, you like getting nicked with swords?
Yeah, but you have to know that I come with a little bit of baggage.
Yeah? What have you seen, Gumby?
Well, as you know, I was a detective and a cowboy.
These are both actually correct.
And therefore, you can assume the rest of the things that I've seen.
I'm going to guess at least 5 things you've seen.
Okay, please.
Okay. I'm going to guess you've probably seen a teepee.
Oh, but hold on. With every answer that you get wrong, I will drive a pencil into my forearm.
Oh, where'd you get that pencil?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
I would.
Oh, I have a carrying case.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you. Good. Yeah, so number one is a teepee.
I have to get a teepee.
Okay, that's good. Wait, are you going to dig it if you have or haven't?
Well, I haven't decided yet.
Okay. Well, we already did the first one, so you got to catch up later. Second, I'm going to say you've seen sand.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yes. Go, Nick. Number three. I'm gonna guess you've seen the Titanic.
Are you kidding me? You think that as a detective / cowboy I would see some kind of mid-Atlantic travesty? Nay, I say.
Oh no, not the actual travesty, the movie.
Ah, too late.
Oh no. Wait, so you have seen the movie though?
I'm losing the thread. I haven't seen either.
Okay, good. We have the bases covered. Good, number four. I'm going to guess you've seen a murder.
A murder? Murder? You don't even need to be a detective / cowboy / astronaut like me to see a murder. We are at a sex convention, after all.
This is true. A lot of murders take place because the murder convention's next door, and we got to use the same bathrooms.
Well, yes, I have seen a murder, but I don't count it, given that we, as you have just mentioned, we have seen plenty of it in the past couple of days.
This is true. It's kind of like a gateway. A lot of people don't know which convention they're from. sometimes it's murder, and sometimes they get mixed up.
I guess the fifth thing.
The fifth thing, penis.
Oh, buddy, I thought you were picking up on me. I didn't think you were trying to have sex.
Wait, let's go to the bathroom. Okay, walking over there. Are you gonna murder me?
And you hear, and you obviously you can hear the chim cham from my chaps and my spurs, because I'm a cowboy detective astronaut. Oh, sorry, I have to bring along this scuba tank, this oxygen tank, because I'm also a scuba.
Wait, what?
I'm a scuba diver / detective cowboy astronaut.
Wow, how do you have so much time for all of these careers?
Because I'm gumby.
I would end the scene right there, but we haven't. But I'm not sure if I'm about to be murdered.
Oh, let's peep in. You know, without even announcing ourselves, let's walk into this stall.
All right. Hi, I'm the door attendant.
Of the stall?
Of the stall. It's a very fancy convention. Would you like a napkin?
Hi. For one reason or another, my associate here, potential lover, and I have decided that we want to enter this stall to see a penis and or murder.
Checked out. Have a dollar.
Have a dollar?
Yeah, it's a reverse scenario. Usually I get a dollar.
Okay, well, let's
see. Each of you have a dollar. Here, take a dollar. Oh, thank you.
We haven't quite described your... Clearly, I'm an anamorphous pile of rubber. What are you exactly? Or clay. What are you exactly?
I'm also the same kind of amorphous pile of clay, shaped like a donkey. My name's Pokey.
Oh, Pokey, if it isn't my old lad. Pokey, I haven't seen you in years. You've grown so much.
I have, ever since you abandoned me in the Alaskan wasteland.
And then why did we go through this whole rigmarole for you to say hello?
Hello, it's me. End scene.
There we go.
We brought it back to the song.
There we go. Perfect. Great job, Andy. Ian's Andy.
And and we still never found out if they died. I do miss bits very much. That was fun. Thank you for being on.
I had a lot of fun. I don't think I will ever do that scene ever again. Not because I don't want to, but because no one will ever yes and you like Ian Zandu.
You make me sound like an anime. I love that. I'll take that as a compliment if I ever watched anime. But no, genuinely, thank you. Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I might start my podcast back up again.
Wait, which one?
Dead Frog.
Oh, okay, the real one.
Yeah, the real it's a podcast dedicated to analyzing the art and craft of stand-up comedy. Ian came on and covered Gary Goldman. Mm-hmm. He did a great job. I think we had a good time. I remember having a good time.
Yeah, no, it's a really fun episode. I actually listened to the episodes that you have. And I don't just say that, not just like being a friend, listening and supporting other people's podcasts. But like, this is an actual something that's interesting to me. And I think the discussions are great, picking apart jokes of some of our favorite comedians. So definitely check out Dead Frog Dead Frog Podcast. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. Check that out. You can check me out. I'll just leave it at that. No, at Ian Zandy on everything. What's your handle on stuff?
Oh, my Instagram is JoeFelix92, and I'm on my third Twitter account.
Wait, did you get blocked?
I got suspended twice, and then I also got suspended from Tinder.
That's kind of an accomplishment, though.
I don't know how to respond. I'm very alone.
You can find me at Ian Zandy on everything, at Wonders Pod on Instagram, and yeah, new episodes every Monday. We're piling them up and releasing them as we go. All sorts of fun stuff, kind of some niche stuff, some more popular songs, kind of goes back and forth. I love seeing what people pick. So thank you for listening. And I wish I had a catchphrase to sign off, but I don't.
What about
Oh, wait, what was I saying earlier?
I wonder if you're having a good time. One Hit Wonder, the podcast.
I like Toy Story. That's what it was. Bye.